Okay.
Are we just recording or are we doing a live feed?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay. We're good?
Yes.
Okay. Call to order the January meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board, Schenectady, New York. I'm Chairman John Sabini, joined by board members Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. We open this meeting and conduct it in a degree of sadness that one of our chairs is empty. Joe Lynch, the longtime director of racing here and generally regarded as one of the most knowledgeable and likable people in New York State racing circles, passed on, and we will miss him. We enjoyed his knowledge, his wit, and he was an integral part of this board and our board meetings. I wanted to note his passing and thank him for his contributions to this board and express the condolences that I know we've all expressed already to his family and friends. With that, I will ask for public comment. We have to open the meeting first, right? Secretary Gail Prunkett, open the meeting. I'm sorry.
Call the meeting to order at 11:05.
Public comment from anyone of the assembled masses? Hearing none, let's go to the agenda.
Just one public comment with Jackson Leeds sent in an email with regard to Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday betting, which will be placed with the minutes of this meeting. Our first
for
item.
For or against?
He's for it.
Yeah. He's for it.
Unless he's changed his position, he's for it.
Which he would like to have considered for every meeting going forth. This email that he sent in wants to just continue. Our first item today is Western Regional OTB Batavia Downs 2011 track and simulcast license applications. Sorry. What is the matter with me? Approval of the minutes of the December 22nd, 2010 meeting.
Members have copies of the minutes. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, we'll move the minutes approved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 3 is the approval deferred by the board since our last meeting, 264 items. Any questions?
Nope.
Items approved, denied, or deferred by the board. 9. And we have 22 items for the board meeting to be taken under consideration today.
Is the agenda today? Let's move forward.
First item, Western Regional OTB, Batavia Downs, 2011 track and simulcast license application.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. There's actually three applications submitted by Western OTB. There's two simulcast applications, one for their off-track betting operation and one for simulcast operation at Batavia Downs. And they have also submitted a racetrack license application for 2011 for Batavia Downs as well. Staff has reviewed the applications and has followed up with necessary items and various issues with Western OTB, and we have concluded the applications now are substantially complete with additional information that's been provided. Batavia Downs has applied for 72 racing programs for 2011 racing season, which is the same number of race dates as they applied for in 2010. As you know, Section 307 of the racing law provides a minimum number of race days for all racetracks. For Batavia, that number is 128 days, set as the minimum for the statute. However, Section 307 also allows the board to grant a license with fewer dates should the applicant provide good cause and upon consent of its horsemen. The Western New York Harness Horsemen's Association has mutually agreed to no less than 72 race dates for the season, and Western OTB has provided sufficient information in regards to this issue. Assistant Counsel Bill Sekelic has reviewed the CAFO documentation that's been submitted with the application and have found no material issues noted. A separate report has been identified, which has been issued by staff and is attached to this board meeting package for informational purposes regarding the SAS 70 type audit that has been performed on Western's tote system, which has been found to have been materially satisfactory. Pursuant to Section 5100.23D, the board must annually approve Western and Batavia's towed security plan. Staff has reviewed the plan and found it to be substantial compliance with the rule. Staff recommends approval for the track and simulcast license application for Batavia Downs, as well as the simulcast license application for Western Regional Off-Track Betting.
Okay, you were still looking. So
I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask a question on all the license applications, because it obviously is starting to percolate. What is their tow contract then?
Actually, I don't have that here. I assigned that to staff as doing a review of all of the tracks and the OTBs.
Especially the OTBs, could you share that with the members? Because
I planned to have that. I was hoping to have that to the board before the meeting today. Unfortunately, though, the staff I have is out in the field for the last couple of days, but unable to get to it. But I will provide that shortly.
Because once again, you know, issues involving OTBs and talk of the legislature perhaps taking up some issues, and, you know, we'd like to have some transparency here to see where they're at. So, okay, any questions or comments on the Western Regional OTBs? Track, simulcast, and OTB. Yes, Mr.
Chairman, thank you. Staff is also recommending that the board make a finding to excuse the noncompliance of Batavia Downs with the required minimum number of dates, both in Section 307.5A in terms of the application for the license, and for Section 318.5 in terms of establishing the parimutuel tax rate for 2011.
And as was noted in Mr. Castro-Gola's report, that the horsemen have agreed to said changes.
Yes.
Okay. Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move the tripartite item of Western Regional OTB's Batavia Downs track license, Batavia Downs simulcast license, and the Western Regional OTB simulcast license. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 2 is Catskill Regional OTB 2011 simulcast license application.
Mr. Castro-Gola.
The application for 2011 simulcast license from Catskill Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation has been received and reviewed by staff. There are no material amendments or changes to their feasibility study affecting the revenue, earnings, or costs associated with operating the 20 branches, four remote facilities, or Easy Bets, and one teletheater, which is located in Suffern. Staff has reviewed the application and have found that all the items have been substantially complied with. Pursuant to Section 5100.23D, the board must also annually approve the tow security plan. Staff has reviewed the plan and found that to be in substantial compliance with the rule. The SAS 70 report has been received and reviewed and found to be in compliance as well. Staff is recommending approval for Catskill OTB's 2011 simulcast license.
Questions or comments from the board on the Catskill OTB simulcast license? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item's approved. Next item.
Item 3 is the Monticello Raceway 2011 track and simulcast license application.
Mr. Castro-Gola.
Thank you, Chairman. Staff has reviewed the simulcast and track license applications submitted by Monticello Raceway for 2011. There's been some additional follow-up that has enabled us to complete the review, and we've concluded that the applications now are substantially complete. Monticello has applied for 207 racing programs for 2011 racing season. Last year, Monticello raced 208 days, or applied for 208 days. Again, pursuant to the minimum requirements to race days under Section 307, the minimum number of days applied to Monticello are required to race 213. Again, Section 307 allows the board to grant fewer race dates if there are less horses available for competition, and if it's uneconomical to do so, to race the minimum dates. Horsemen agreed to race the 207, as substantiated by their agreement with the racetrack. And Monticello Raceway has indicated that it loses an average of about a little over $8,000 per day for live racing. Assistant Counsel Bill Sekelic has reviewed the CAFO documentation submitted with the application and found no material issues noted. The SAS 70 Type 2 audit report for Monticello Raceway tow system has been reviewed and deemed to be substantially complete. Rule 5100.23D requires the board to annually approve Monticello Raceway's tow security plan. Staff has reviewed the plan and found it to be substantially in compliance with the rule. As you know, Monticello Raceway, together with its parent company, Empire Resorts, Inc., has been experiencing financial difficulties over the last few years. Last year, the company owed about $65 million to bondholders, which had generated a significant interest expense for the track and its parent company. In the past year, Empire's largest shareholder made a bridge loan, and they refinanced that obligation and have essentially addressed the financial suitability issues that we had with the track for last year. They have provided some additional information regarding that as far as projections in their financial position for the 2011, the year of the application. Staff has reviewed the information and we're recommending approval for Monticello's track and simulcast license for 2011.
Questions or comments from the board members?
Just remind me, we didn't approve them for when we kept them just continuing rights last year, right? All through, or did we ever give them, I can't remember.
I think we gave them a license late in the year.
It was a late year? So this is great.
Yeah, this last year there were issues as they were going through the financial issues and the refinancing, and once that was done, there was some change of ownership issues as well.
Right.
All that has been resolved.
So this is a complete year license.
Correct.
Based on the January and
December, right.
So questions or comments? Further? Hearing none. All those in favor on the Monticello Raceway track and simulcast license application?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 4 is the Yonkers Raceway 2011 track and simulcast license applications.
Mr. Castro-Gallo.
Thank you. Staff has reviewed the track and simulcast license application for Yonkers Raceway for 2011. The application was timely submitted. There was some additional follow-up that we've now successfully completed and deemed the application to be substantially complete. Yonkers has applied for 244 racing programs for 2011. It's one day less than it was applied for last year. And it is slightly less than the minimum number of race days required under Section 307 of the racing law, which is 256. However, Yonkers Raceway does have an agreement with its horsemen that was in effect on May 23rd of 2006, at which they agree to the 244 minimum race days for this year. In addition, Yonkers has stated that while they do generate a profit from racing every day, a slight profit from racing every day, that if they were to add more days up to the 256 or approximate days, that it would adversely affect their purses, and this is why they're racing the applied 4 days at 244 in agreement with the horsemen. Assistant Counsel Sekelic has reviewed the CAFO documentation submitted with the application and noted no material issues. The SAS 70 report has been reviewed by staff and found to be substantially compliant. 5100.23D, tow security plan that was submitted by Yonkers, has been reviewed by staff and found to be substantial compliance with the rule. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of Yonkers 2011 track and simulcast license application.
Questions or comments from the board?
Any other contracts saying that they're making a profit on racing, street racing?
Yonkers is the only one that I can recall. I think we still have a couple of tracks to hear from for this year, but historically speaking, no. Everyone has always reported a loss from live racing. Yonkers is the exception.
Was there an issue with CAFO last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, there was an issue before your time on the board with some fire issues as well as some environmental issues.
I remember hearing that.
Right. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Hearing none, we're voting the Yonkers track and simulcast application for 2011. All those in favor?
Aye.
Good luck, Steelers.
You see these reports that Aaron Rodgers might have had a concussion in that game and got hit by Julius Peppers?
Yes.
That could be the game changer right there.
It's good. And since we're on a live feed, perhaps the spread just moved, thanks to you.
Well, I'm not a betting man.
People rushing the windows in Las Vegas right now. Well, I'll note for the record, it's the only place in America it's legal to bet.
Is it really a live feed, or we're not on a time delay?
Who knows?
Gee, is there a rebound button? Usually it's
Next item.
Item 5 is New York State Taxation and Finance Certification of Year 2010 Racing Dates, Races for Tax Rate Purposes.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. As the board is aware, each year it's necessary for the board to take two actions with regard to establishing pari-mutuel tax rates for the tracks. This item involves the look-back provision for 2010. The statute requires the board to do a post-year certification to tax and finance of eligibility for tax rate. And for racetracks involving year 2010, the following tracks were assigned and conducted the minimum number of dates under the necessary provisions of the law: Saratoga Raceway, Monticello Raceway, Yonkers Raceway, and Finger Lakes Racetrack. No certifications required for either Myra or Tioga Downs. And as to the other tracks, Batavia, Buffalo, and Vernon, the board excused compliance for the year. Accordingly, staff recommends, in terms of this post-2010 certification, that the board certify that all of the tracks have either complied with the requirements of the relevant sections or been excused from compliance for purposes of establishing the necessary tax rate.
Questions or comments from the board?
Can we just practice one time? How many dates did we say the race is one less than last year?
One less than last year, yeah.
Yeah, and the number for the needed number is 146?
Under Section 318 for the tax rate.
318, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item of the 2010 racing dates compliance with New York State taxation and finance for tax rate purposes. Are those in favor?
Aye.
Next item. Item approved. Next item.
Item 6 is Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation's request to for an extension to file their quarterly reports in 2011.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I ask that we consider all of these extensions as one item?
We'd like to couple these.
I'd like to couple these entries.
Sure.
Please.
No, treat them as a couple.
Four, I believe.
It's five.
Five.
Yeah, let me make sure I've got them all.
Five.
Capital OTB, Catskill, Nassau, Suffolk, Western.
6 through 10.
Sadly, none from New York City.
No.
Mr. Castro-Gall.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. These requests came in from each of the regional off-track betting corporations to apply for an extension to file the quarterly reports as required pursuant to Section 524.4 of the racing law. Same section of statute provides that they may apply for an extension should they find cause to do so. The law provides that they're supposed to file their quarterly reports 15 days after the close of the quarter. Obviously, that's a pretty short time frame, and the OTBs have traditionally over the years been requesting 30-day extensions from that, so they'd be able to file 45 days after the close of a quarter, which is probably a more reasonable time frame. The requests that were submitted were all essentially the same. There are a couple of slight changes, so I'll just present them kind of in the groups in which they are the same. Capital and Suffolk had requested a 30-day extension for each of the four quarters for 2011. Catskill and Nassau OTBs requested a 30-day extension for the first three quarters of 2011 and a 45-day extension for the fourth quarter. They needed some additional time to close out the year. Western OTB made a similar request, a 30-day extension for the first three quarters of 2011 and a 45-day extension for the fourth quarter of 2011 as well as the fourth quarter for 2010. Each of these requests for extensions were timely submitted, meaning they were made prior to the due date of these reports. Therefore, staff's recommending approval.
None of them exceed what we've given them before either, right?
These are all consistent with what the board has granted in the past, yes.
And I'm happy that you noted that requests were timely received in a timely manner, because that has been a bad habit of our stakeholders.
So the extensions are approved and all the OTBs are compliant?
I would like to say so, but in the past some have filed late, some more so than others. Some quarters they come in late. We do have a procedure set up, however, where we make sure that they get them in as soon as possible. So if they're late, you know, if they're 10 days late, we call them, we email them letters until we get the information. And it hasn't been bad. It used to be much more of an issue in past years, but we have definitely gotten better. No, it's gotten much, much better over the years.
Okay, so we are taking up the coupled item and one vote of the extensions on to file quarterly reports for Capital, Catskill, Suffolk, and Western Regional OTBs.
And Nassau.
I'm sorry, Nassau, which somehow was clipped to another one. Thank you, and Nassau. All those in favor of the five application extensions?
Aye.
Aye. That coupled item is approved. Next item.
Item 11 is Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting, change in ownership of Rensselaer County Branch in Hoosick Falls, New York.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you. This is a request from Capital OTB to reflect a change in ownership of one of their existing branches. Staff has completed a limited suitability review of the new landlords and have found no derogatory information on them. The new owners are Michael and Tricia Bloomer, who will be doing business as Bloomer Enterprises, LLC. And they replace the previous owner, Michelle Dupree Plitcher of Dupree Enterprises. Staff is recommending approval.
Questions or comments on the change of ownership of the Rensselaer County branch of Capital Regional, Capital District OTB? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item's approved. Next item.
Item 12 is Cindy Lakes Racetrack, request to withdraw $233,645.94 from their capital improvement fund.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you. Finger Lakes had requested to approve set amount from their capital improvement fund for reimbursement of various items that are listed in the request. Staff reviewed supporting documentation provided, which included vendor invoices and copies of canceled checks, a physical inspection of the items listed on the request has just been completed yesterday. Each of the items included in the requests have been budgeted for. There is a balance in the capital improvement fund at Finger Lakes at December 31, as reported, to be just slightly over the amount requested at $237,385.23. Staff is recommending approval of the requests.
Questions or comments on the Finger Lakes SIF request?
I remember Member Hogan had mentioned about scheduling when the inspections are scheduled, if we could get the dates. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay. We usually, you know, when the snow stops flying.
When the snow stops, it means spring's come.
Okay. Keep us.
Let's see those little crocuses blooming.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments on the Finger Lakes SIF request? Mm-hmm. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 13 is Mansell Raceway, request to withdraw $83,162.58 from their capital improvement.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you. Monticello has requested approval to withdraw a set amount from their capital improvement fund for various items as listed on the request. Staff has reviewed the supporting documentation, including the vendor invoices and canceled checks. Inspection has been performed of the items listed. There were five items that were submitted and included in this request. which were not budgeted for. For the capital improvement fund items were listed on emergency request forms. Staff has reviewed those, that information. Sorry. And has determined that two of the items did not meet the requirement of an emergency request. Therefore, staff is recommending that the board approve $59,040.58 of the request, and that the board deny the $777 requested, as well as the as a non-budgeted item, and $23,345 for the dump truck, as an it did not meet the requirements of an emergency request. The balance in the capital improvement fund reported at Monticello Raceway for November 30th was just slightly over $221,000.
Questions or comments on the Monticello SIF request and the staff recommendation?
Yeah, Tom, if they put these into the budget for the year, would they'd have been approved for those items, wouldn't they?
They would have been. We would have recommended approval for those items, and we've over the years had this conversation with Monticello and other tracks, you know, about the need for accurately submitting budgeted information. It was an issue of criticism from the state controller's office over the past years, which has caused us to implement the emergency request form and requisition type of procedure. So this is consistent with how we've been addressing it with the tracks, and we're continually trying to help them and plan a little bit better for the coming year.
After this meeting, is someone going to have a discussion with them, telling them the outcome, or
yeah, usually
they'll send in a letter.
There's a representative from Empire Resorts in attendance, and we can discuss it after the meeting.
Yeah, we usually call the people at the track that we have dealt with too, as well, regarding the request where we've done the inspections. So we can let them know. So I'm sure we're going to call as well.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, vote on the Monticello SIF request as amended to $59,040, correct?
It was a yes. We're recommending that...
And 58 cents.
Correct.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item approved. Next item. Approved as amended.
Item 14 is Tioga Downs, request for withdrawal of $16,355.98 from...
Mr. Castro-Gola.
Tioga has submitted to request a set amount, a withdrawal set amount from their capital improvement fund for the... various items listed on the request, basically two items, a starting gate and a Toyota Tundra truck. Staff has reviewed the supporting documentation, including invoices and canceled checks, and found them to be properly supported, and the item has been inspected as well. These items were both included in their budget for the year, and Tioga reports they have a balance in their capital improvement fund at December 22nd of $16,355.98. Therefore, staff recommends approval of Tioga Downs to withdraw $16,355.98 from their capital improvement fund for reimbursement of the amount requested, as that's all they have.
Questions or comments on the Tioga Downs SIF request? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 15 is Vernon Downs, request to withdraw $28,696.54 for special improvement.
Mr. Castro-Gola, doing hard work today.
The last of the requests for money as well. Vernon Downs has requested approved set amount from their capital improvement fund for reimbursement of a starting gate and a Toyota Tundra truck, similar to the requests previously presented to the board from from Tioga Downs. Staff reviewed these items as well and found them to be properly supported, and the items have been inspected by staff. Balance in the capital improvement funds at December 22nd at Vernon Downs. It's reported at $28,696.54. Staff recommends approval of this request.
Questions or comments on the Vernon Downs, I'm sorry, the Tioga Downs SIP request?
Vernon Downs. Member Diamond and I got to see this new truck and starter gate, and it's quite impressive. It's, so, yes, I'm all in favor.
Okay, the admin, all those in favor of Vernon Downs SIP request, say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 16 is Tioga Downs, Vernon Downs, request to amend Players Rewards Program.
Mr. Casarello.
This is a joint request made by both Vernon and Tioga Downs to request the Players Reward Program, which is a program that they do run jointly, given the similar ownership situation. Highlights of the changes are the changes listed are elimination of the points-based system. Rewards would be based directly on amount wagered. From now on, they're also requesting minimum monthly wagers to qualify have been lowered from $5,000 to $3,000, and a new table of tiers and percentages for rewards is being requested as well, the top reward now being at 5%, which was previously 4%. They're also adding a provision that wagers resulting in payoffs of 210 or 220 in certain jurisdictions will not count towards rewards, which is kind of been the standard type of qualification, if you will, in other rewards programs the board has acted on. Staff recommends approval of this request.
Questions or comments for the Tioga Vernon Player Rewards Amended Program?
Tom, we got any idea how many people are currently enrolled in their rewards program?
We do get quarterly reports from them. I don't know off the top of my head, but I can get you that number. Probably the fourth quarter report we should get from them very shortly. We can share that with you. It lists the number of enrollees and as well as your rewards issue.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item on the Tioga Vernon Player Rewards Amended Program. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 17 is Saratoga Harness request for extension of in-home simulcasting with Capital District Regional Offset Betting Corporation.
Mr. Casarello.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'll take this item as well as the
Mr.
following. This is a request from Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated and Capital District Regional OTB as well. For approval of plan of operation amendments to reflect the extension of an in-home simulcasting agreement between the respective entities. This extension follows the satisfactory completion and execution by the industry participants of their agreement for consenting to in-home simulcasting. And as a product of that agreement, the Saratoga Raceway desire to extend the agreement with Capital OTB, and this is basically a simple extension of the agreement through April 30th of 2012, and staff recommends approval of this extension or the related plan of operation amendments based upon the same conditions set forth in the board's original approval letter from May 8th, 2009.
Let me just enter an editorial comment in the record that this, as you noted, being a byproduct of attempts to get off-track betting entities to agree to a video streaming of NYRA's signal by NYRA. If this is a byproduct and opens it up to more people and more people to be made whole in the challenging economy, it's a good thing. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the extension for in-home simulcasting?
I just have one quick question.
Mr. Byron.
Just for my education. The original agreement was for 2 years, from 2009 to 2011, April.
Yes.
And this is a one-year extension.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
And it goes a little bit beyond what the 1 year we did for everybody else in Iowa, right?
The industry agreement runs for a year, so it will expire before this agreement expires.
Good. Okay, all those in favor of the Saratoga Harness request for extension of in-home simulcasting with Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting, say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 18 is notice of adoption for the minor wage renewal.
Mr. Firestead.
This is the first of two rulemakings before the board today. This is a rather ministerial rulemaking. This was previously proposed by the board and is now before the board for adoption. This was handled as a consensus rulemaking. This is an amendment to rule section 4009.8, which contained an obsolete reference to the age 21 in terms of wagering and was inconsistent both with section 104 of the Racing Parimutuel Wagering and Breeding Law and another thoroughbred rule, 4001.10. This is a technical amendment to conform this rule to the existing statute and other rules. There was a publication in the State Register as a consensus rulemaking. The board received no comments during the official comment period, and staff recommends that the board approve adoption of this rule change.
Questions or comments on a rule change involving minors' wagering? Has nothing to do with Chili. Hearing none, all those in favor of the rule change?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Item 19 is consensus rulemaking, maximum fine amounts and horse racing.
Mr. Firestead.
Thank you. This is a proposed consensus rulemaking to amend relevant thoroughbred harness and quarter horse rules in order to reflect an increase in the maximum authority of the board to impose fines. The board's authority was increased from $5,000 to $25,000 in these areas as well as off-track betting pursuant to section 240 of the laws of 2010. There is no off-track betting rule which needs to be amended. Instead, the staff relies upon the statute in that area of regulation. This is proposed as a consensus rulemaking because it's a mere technical amendment without discretion and simply reflects the statutory change. If approved by the board as a proposed consensus rulemaking today, this will be sent over to the Department of State for publication in the State Register with a 45-day comment period. It will also, of course, be posted on the board's website, and comments can be received through that source as well.
Questions or comments on the fine?
Bob, under our statutory authority, if we needed to, we could impose the higher fine now in the absence of a new regulation. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. The statute trumps the regulation in this instance.
Double check.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the fine rulemaking?
Aye.
Thank you to our friends in the state legislature for moving that bell. Now we enter the People's Court phase of our agenda. Next item.
Item 20 is in the matter of Joseph Gleason.
Mr. Firestead.
This matter involves an order to show cause seeking to suspend or revoke two licenses held by Joseph Gleason. One is a thoroughbred owner's license, which I might note has now expired. And the other is a harness racing general services license. The order to show cause was initiated based on matters relating to financial irresponsibility and failure to cooperate with board staff requests to appear and provide information. A hearing was held before designated hearing officer Parenti, who has submitted a report that the board has before it together with the record. The hearing officer recommends that the board impose a 15-day suspension of Mr. Gleason's thoroughbred owner's license and take no action at this time in relation to the harness general services license based upon the fact that Mr. Gleason has apparently made arrangements to pay his judgments or obligations to the entities involved.
I'd like to state for the record that after reviewing this case, it's my view that Mr. Gleason has demonstrated financial irresponsibility, notwithstanding his current arrangements to satisfy his obligations. Accordingly, under the circumstances, I think a more suitable disciplinary action would be, and I'm asking the board to consider, in addition to his 15-day suspension, the revocation of his harness general service license with a stay of that revocation conditioned upon Mr. Gleason's fulfilling his specific payment obligations in a timely manner. In the event that he does not, the revocation would become effective without need for further administrative proceeding. So, basic guarantees he's on the hook. Questions or comments?
Chairman, I point out that as of this morning, he had not renewed his owner's license, so then I would assume he's only renewed his general service at this time.
Okay. So with the amended penalty that I'm requesting, any other comments or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the disposition of the Gleason matter with the amended penalty that I've outlined, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved as amended. Next item.
Item 21 is in the name of Rodrigo Sotelo.
Mr. Feierstein.
This adjudicatory matter results from a post-summary suspension hearing in relation to Mr. Sotelo's thoroughbred groom and exercise rider licenses. Those licenses were summarily suspended by the board based upon non-compliance with conditions for reinstatement of licenses, those conditions related to substance abuse. There was a hearing held. Mr. Sotelo, although duly notified, did not appear. Mr. Parente, as the designated hearing officer, recommends that Mr. Sotelo's licenses be revoked.
No show, you gotta go. Anyone commenting on Mr. Sotelo's case? Hearing none, all those in favor of the disposition of the Sotelo case?
Aye.
Pay the hearing officer? Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 22 is in the matter of the disqualification of Ivan Song from the second race at Finger Lakes Racetrack on July 6, 2010.
Mr. Feierstein.
This is the final adjudicatory matter today. This matter involves an appeal by the owner and trainer of Ivan Song from the placement decision of the stewards at Finger Lakes Racetrack. In this matter, Ivan Song was disqualified and placed last based on interference of that horse during the second race on July 6th of 2010. The Office of Board Counsel moved to dismiss the appeal on the ground that placement decisions such as these are not reviewable. There was no opposition to the motion. The designated hearing officer, once again, Mr. Parente, has submitted a report, which the board has with the record, in which the hearing officer recommends that the appeal be denied and the decision of the stewards be affirmed.
Questions or comments on the Ivan Song matter? Hearing none, all those in favor of disposing of this item in relation to the hearing officer's disposition, say aye.
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 Ivan Song is sadly over. That concludes the agenda items I'm in front of me.
We have items for board discussion, 7. Any discussion? If not, all right, then we'll adjourn the meeting at 11:47.
Thank you very much. Everyone have a good Super Bowl. Again, we miss your job.
Amen.
Thank you.
How do we know when you're not live?
Three horses fell in the front of the